And we have a very couple of special guests here this morning. We're talking about safety as we do the first Thursday of every month. The Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. We've talked about rules of the road, highway work zone safety. Today, water and boating safety. Yes, it's coming up, water and boating. I know it's hard to believe because you're still wearing your winter coat out there, but it's coming up. And our guests are Lieutenant Mike Lewell. Got that right. And Deputy Jerome Hipper is here as well. Now, Deputy, you are actually on the Water Patrol, right?
Correct. I run our Racine County Water Patrol.
Now, we happen to have a lake right in our backyard. I have it literally a block and a half from my house, so boating safety is here. It doesn't work well when you're in, like, Wyoming or Kansas. They don't really...
They don't have anything near the size we do.
Okay, so we have a list here. Now, there's a poster you can see. The poster is at... And I remember this now because Tom Nitter told me. It's Racine County. Let's see what I have here. RacineCounty.com/staying safe. And you'll see a list of all the posters we've done. Go to water and boating safety and you can follow along today. Do you have to have a boating license in Wisconsin?
You do if you have been born after January 1st, 1989. Then you have to take a boater safety course per DNR. If you're born before that date, you do not.
So let me see here. Oh, you don't?
Correct. If you were born before that date.
So how old would that make you? Let me see. Carry the 2 divided by 5. How long would that?
That'd be about 36.
Okay. So before 36, you have to have a... Why that date?
A date that they picked for the legislation. I don't know why specifically.
Okay. I don't have one. I'm not a big boater. I think I went on, except for the cruise ships, personal boats. I hardly go on because I'm not a big fan of getting stuck in water and drowning.
You should come on down. We'll take you for a ride.
Yeah. Samanorama once took me on a fishing boat and I caught fish. It's very scary out there because there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to run. I mean, if something happens, you're in the water. That's just me.
That's what we're there for. So if something happens, give us a call and we come out and give you a hand.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it. You guys, you do save lives out there, huh?
We do.
What's the number one boating prize? Is it people drinking? And crashing their boats and partying too much?
Well, that's a big problem with it. The biggest thing we recommend is wearing your PFDs because, like you said,
PFDs, personal flotation devices, right?
Correct.
That I remember.
Your life jackets in layman's terms. So you never know when something's going to happen. You get a rogue wave. All of a sudden, your boat starts leaking and you're just in the water before you know it. And that's going to keep you up and afloat.
Rogue waves on Lake Michigan?
It does happen. I've seen it.
Whoa. Lieutenant, are you a big boater?
No, I'm not very proficient on the water, but what is interesting about Racine County is we're not just the land of Racine County. Our jurisdiction goes out to the halfway mark of Lake Michigan, which is approximately 45 miles to the east, obviously. And then if you go north-south, we're 11 to 13 miles. So once again, I don't like to do math on the radio, but that's approximately 450 square miles that Deputy Hipper and his co-workers have responsibility of, and we have two boats that unfortunately are about as old as I am. So we do what we can, but we are looking to improve our boating patrol abilities.
So once you get past that mileage marker, then it's Michigan's problem.
Yep, that we pass it over. We pass the stick somewhere.
I'm drowning. I'm sorry. There's a number in Michigan I can give you to call.
I think we'll help our buddies out if it's 46 to 48 miles or whatever.
Let's talk about some of the items on the poster. Educate yourself. Take boating safety courses. Where do they get those?
They're online. So you can just go to the DNR website, and you can actually take the class online through links on their website. Or they do them in person, and the scheduling is dependent on when DNR is available.
Now, getting a license is not like a driver's test. Nobody takes you on the water.
Correct. It is all 100% online.
And when you go out there, it's just hopefully you know what you're doing.
Well, and there are some like local yacht clubs that offer boating classes and sailing classes, and that's a lot of hands-on stuff, so that's always an option. But it's not a requirement. They can just get their license online, jump on the boat, and go.
Sailing's a whole nother thing. I mean, you really have to be talented to know how to sail. It's when your boat, I could turn this wheel on a motorboat and
control the throttle, and that's all you need. Sailing's a whole different animal.
And I've seen them on the lake here. The yacht club holds their sailboats out there. I've seen them on the lake for a while. I used to walk my dog there.
Yeah, they have regattas every year that they're racing them out there.
They're very good. Okay, so you can go online. Do you happen to know where that is online?
It's just, is it Wisconsin DNR? or is it DNR.com? It's whatever the DNR website is.
So if you Google DNR boating
classes. Yeah, Wisconsin classes. DNR. Just make sure it's Wisconsin because you need the DNR from our state.
No charge?
I believe there's a charge for some of the links. There's no charge for the classes.
Okay. That's pretty good. I noticed you drink. You don't. Is that water?
Now that is coffee.
See, this morning, just for this, I brought in my water. Just to get in the mood this morning.
I'll hit up the water after the coffee.
Actually, I never had a cup of coffee in my life.
I worked third shift for 10 years, so you get used to it.
You know, I mentioned earlier it was peanut butter and jelly day yesterday. I've never tasted peanut butter or jelly in my life. Yeah, put them together. I've never tasted them.
Well, then you have to decide upon creamy or crunchy with the...
I won't even touch the jar. My wife brings peanut butter in the house. I don't touch it. Never had coffee, never had a beer, never had a cigarette, never, I mean, just.
Well, cigarettes never been my vice, so we're there together.
I never tried one, so yeah. My wife doesn't drink coffee, so we don't even own a coffee maker. So if you come to my house, bring your own coffee.
Or your studio.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, we do have a coffee maker here.
Okay.
Yeah, they make tons of coffee out here. I just don't drink it. All right, so you can educate yourself. Life jackets. I know people don't look good in them, and I know some of the big tough people on the lake don't want to wear them, but they do save your life.
They do. We wear them every time we go out. If they're too uncomfortable for you, they do make ones that self-inflate when you hit the water. They're a lot thinner.
Oh, really?
They do. They're a lot thinner, a lot more comfortable to wear. Those are a different type, so you have to be wearing them for them to count as a life jacket in the boat. It can't be sitting next to you, but they are a lot easier to wear. It's just a very thin collar.
Huh. And of course, if you have children on board, put them on the first thing. Before you even leave, put them on.
Correct. It's actually required if the children are under 13, they have to have a PFD on the entire time the boat's underway.
So I'm in a lake once. This is up north. I was dating somebody who was big on up north stuff. And we were on this lake. And I got on this little pontoon island type of thing there with the oil barrels holding it up. And I had to get back to shore, and somebody said, uh-oh, there are leeches all over. How am I going to get back? So I jump in the water, and I see somebody with a leech on their shoulder, and I start to panic. And to this day, I remember exactly what that felt like, being in the water, panicking, and not being able to swim all of a sudden. I'm a pretty decent swimmer, but I panicked, and I couldn't go. I was sinking. And if I had a life jacket, I could just sit there and float. And they do save lives because people panic. You see a boat go down, you get upset. You're going to start panicking and flailing all over the place, worrying about your guests on the boat and everything. That's the bad part. We're going to talk about the fun part of boating. It's coming up in just a moment. Our guest this morning, we have Lieutenant Mike Lewell. He's the public safety officer for the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. And Deputy Jerome Hipper, who's actually the boater here today. You've been boating all your life?
Most of it. Yeah, my dad had a boat ever since I was growing up, so pretty much my whole life.
You got gills on your side and everything?
No.
Okay, I'm just wondering. And this morning, it's our first Thursday of the month Staying Safe program from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. And Lieutenant Mike Lewell is here. He's the public safety officer, public information officer. And Deputy Jerome Hipper here is here from the, you actually do the boating. You're on the boating patrol, but you showed up in a car today.
Yeah, the waterway doesn't quite make it this far.
But you come on like one of those ducks you see at the Dells.
I would love to have one of those. That would be great. I could just go drive right to work and drive right into the water.
Right into the water. You ever been on one of those ducks?
I have.
Yeah, I was there when I first moved to Wisconsin. We took one of the ducks with my daughter. It's kind of creepy when you go on land and boom, right into the water.
Yeah, it's a different feeling. I was actually on one that got a flat tire and they changed it with us on it.
Well, here's the creepy part. Those things are from World War II. I mean, how many cars are on the road from World War II that you'd feel safe driving in?
Yeah, not many.
All right, here's my boating story. I said I'd tell you. I grew up on Long Island, in New York City on Long Island. And our next door neighbor who was like the trash house of the neighborhood. And he had a boat, and it looked dilapidated, but he said, we're going to take it out today. Brought it on a trailer, and we got to the Great South Bay, and I knew something was up when I saw a little bailing stuff, bailing water. I said, oh, don't worry about it. So we get on the water, and I could see water coming in on my feet. He goes, don't worry, just scoop it out. I said, scoop it out? We're going to be on here for a couple of hours. We can scoop it out. He said, scoop it out. If you don't, it's going to go down. So, of course, my panic set in. I didn't enjoy the whole boating trip. I didn't do any fishing. All I did was scoop with this Clorox thing that was cut up to make like a scooper. That's all I did. Never went out with him on a boat again. And he said, this is the boat. Just bail out water. We're not going to go down. As long as you keep pushing the water out of it, it won't, you know. I said, why don't you fix it? That's too much of a bother. All right, let's talk about staying safe on the water, drinking. That's got to be one of the major problems out there. People go on a boat, they want to party, and they drink.
And it's a big problem, especially because it's not like a car where you're going to go out, stop in the middle of an intersection, sit there for a couple hours. In a boat, you go out on the lake and you just park there, enjoy the sunshine, enjoy the fresh air, do some swimming. And if you're drinking that whole time, it's going to catch up with you before you know it.
And if everybody's drinking, before you know it, you might bump into somebody. And it's not like on the road, you could pull over to the side of the road. You bump into somebody, you go down. And hopefully you're near a shoreline to do it.
Correct.
So drinking is a known. I guess you can have a drink. If you're driving the boat, I wouldn't have any drinks.
It'd be preferable if you were sober driving the boat.
Yeah, everybody else can have a few drinks. You just don't have it. See, I would be the guy because I don't drink. I'd be the guy driving the boat, but I don't know how to drive a boat. So stay sober. A boat operator with a blood alcohol concentration of 0.10. Is that more than a, was it 0.08?
0.08 is the legal limit.
And this says 0.10 for a boater.
Well, that's because the 0.10, they're 10 times more likely to be killed in a boating accident. So that's a statistic they found through examining boating accidents.
Mm. See, this is another reason why I don't want to go on a boat. Okay, personal watercraft, and that's a boat, right?
It's technically not a boat. It's like a jet ski.
Okay, I got a jet ski story for you. I never wanted a jet ski in my life. I'm up north, and I said, go ahead, take the jet ski. Now I wear glasses, but I didn't want to wear them on it because if they fall off...
They're hard to find.
It's $400 if they're hard to find. So I go on the jet ski, and I never worked one of these things before, and I get on the middle of the lake, and it conks out. And I keep getting it started. It keeps conking out. And now I don't have my glasses, and I'm looking for the shoreline to see where I'm supposed to go because it's a resort area. And I don't know where it is. And this thing keeps conking out on me. And I go along the entire shoreline. Look, finally, I recognize somebody, and I say, get out of the way from me. I'm not going this thing. It conks out. Yeah, but you can get it restarted again. I don't want it to conk, because when it conks out, it bobs back and forth with me on it, and I don't want to do it. I had a life jacket on, but I still didn't want to do it. So that's my... So far, I was on a boat that leaks, a jet ski that conks out. Okay, so go ahead.
I was actually on a jet ski as a kid that we had rented. And it had a leak in the crack in the hull that they didn't know about. So as I was out on it, it slowly sank away underneath me. And I still go on boats.
Well, this thing didn't sink. It just kept conking out. And you've been on a jet ski?
Oh, yeah. I've been on many jet skis.
Really?
The interesting thing about them is there's no brakes, which sounds pretty obvious. But you get people who are full throttle. And then they come off the throttle, and they just keep going, and they're bashing into things.
Don't you put your feet in the water to slow you down?
You can try. Yabba-dabba-doo.
Yabba-dabba-doo. Try to slow down. Okay, so we're talking about the jet skis. What else? Is there any other type of personal watercraft?
Those are the main ones. So, I mean, there's all different kinds of boats. The jet skis are a lot of the fun ones that people like to play around with.
Hmm. How about those paddle ones? See, those sound kind of safe to me.
Paddle boats? Yeah. I wouldn't recommend using those in Lake Michigan. They're so small, and the waves in Lake Michigan can kick up pretty quick without any warning. Uh-huh. So you're going to have to get back to shore if the weather turns nasty real quick, and that's hard to do.
Okay, so jet skis off my list, regular boats off my list, paddle boats, put a line through that as well. We're getting there eventually. We're talking about water safety today. Boating. Yes, never too early to boat. Although the ice was on when I pass over the Main Street Bridge. I mean, it wasn't a month ago. That thing was frozen solid. So our guests are Lieutenant Mike Lewell. He is the Public Information Officer for the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission and Deputy Jerome Hipper, who's actually involved in the water. You're on the safety patrol.
Correct.
When do you start getting out on the water?
Oh, actually, we've already been out on the water. Our boats are in. We've been out all week.
Yeah, it was ice a few weeks ago.
It was. It's a little chilly out there. But...
I saw one of those little fishing shanties, you know, those little where they put those little shanties on there and they drill a hole.
Yep, for ice fishing.
And the whole thing goes right in the water I don't know how people do that. I just would be scared. I mean, I hear a crack. Did you hear something? I heard a crack. Where'd you hear that? All right, so we're talking about boating safety, and you wanted me to make sure we bring up the swimming aspect of this whole thing, because we have a beautiful beach, North Beach, and during the summer, it's crowded with swimming. And, you know, those boats are not that far away from where the swimmers are.
The swim area is actually a designated area, so the boats are supposed to stay out of that area. We have the North Beach area. We also have the Zoo Beach area a little bit further north of that. So when North Beach gets crowded, they'll open that up as well. Those areas are both staffed with lifeguards, so that's why it's important to stay in those areas. They're safer areas for the currents and the weather that Lake Michigan can provide, so they're designated those areas. We've had issues with people getting too close to the North Pier area, which is outside the swimming area, and that's when people get into trouble.
And we had some trouble.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, we had several drownings in that area due to the fact that the wind was coming in out of the north. It was creating rip currents and undertows and just pulling people right under.
Now, you see this, they tell you sometimes if you watch the news, there are a lot of rip currents out there. What is a rip current?
So the rip current is basically the wind is pushing the water into a narrow area, and right there it's a 90 degrees. So when the wind comes out of the north, it drives right into that corner. Because the top water is coming into that corner and has nowhere to go, it'll go out to the side and it'll run along shore. So if you get in a rip current, it's actually pulling you away from the land, and it'll just shoot you right down North Pier until you get out.
You can't fight it, huh?
You can't fight against it. Your option is to swim sideways to get out of the current and then swim back in.
Let me write that down. Reason number 18, rip currents. Don't go in the water. Okay, good. I've been in the water up to my ankles. I told you, I'm not. And I grew up in the ocean. I mean, I grew up going to the ocean every day of my life in the summer. And all of a sudden, I don't like it anymore. I don't know why. How about those people in on January 1st running into the lake, huh?
All the polar bears?
My wife used to do that. And before we got married, she used to go, I said, what are you, nuts? You got a cold there. Well, you're running in, jumping over the ice berm and running into this lake. What if you can't get out? They have people there watching. You know, very interesting, too, along on the fact of the water. When they did the triathlon here, it was running, swimming, and biking. Those are the three triathlons. Do you know how they knew when everybody was out of the water?
How?
It's a trick. Do you know?
I do not, but I've done a triathlon or two.
They count the number of bicycles left on the beach.
Oh.
And if there's one bike left over, they got to start looking for that person. When all the bikes are gone, they know everybody got out of the water. That's the only way they could tell.
Well,
I know. Kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want it, but they've never had a problem where a bicycle was left on, so that's how they measure it. Kind of scary, isn't it? Okay, we talked about when you go on the beach, I mean, even if you have a little, put the life jacket on when you're in the lake. I mean, it's water. You can go down in that stuff. Now, do they have like a shelf under the water that dips real fast? I know when I grew up on the ocean, they did.
Well, down by North Beach, it's all sand, which we have no shelf that's going to drop off to, several tens of hundreds of feet quickly. However, the sand is constantly shifting, so you can get holes and stuff that all of a sudden you're over your head, and then further out you see people standing at their knees because there's a sandbar out there. So you just never know what the contour of the bottom is going to be.
I remember being in the ocean, all of a sudden you go down. The shelf is right there, and you start swimming to get back to where you were, and of course panic sets in for me. Let's talk about boats again. Fire extinguishers. Now, that's you have to have those on there, right?
You do have to have a fire extinguisher on board.
Hopefully, it's one that works.
Yes. They're only good for so long. They should have a gauge on them that indicates it's working. Any boat with closed construction needs to have a fire extinguisher because the gases from the fuel can build up in there and start a fire.
Okay. Another reason I get nervous. And you do have, boats do have fires. But if you have a fire extinguisher, you put it out and you call for help. If you don't have a fire extinguisher,
It's going to take a while for the fire department to get out to you, so.
Well, let me ask you, do boats have to go through inspections at all?
If we ever stop a boat, we inspect it, but there's no, annual required inspections for the boats.
Do you have, when you stop a car, you've got to have probable cause to go search a car, obviously. Correct. Same thing with boats?
Correct. We need probable cause to stop the boat, yep.
Okay, how do you know if people are drinking on a boat? With a car, you can see the car swerving all over the road. You know people are drinking. With a boat, how can you tell?
It's very difficult to tell just by their driving if they've been drinking or not due to the fact that boats can just go sideways with the winds and the waves. So it's basically if we stop them for a violation to see if they've been drinking when we talk to them, If they're doing something really crazy out there, or we've had them where sometimes they go into the swim area because they don't realize they just crossed the buoy line.
I saw this Dateline episode, and it involved a whole bunch of teenagers on the boat. They crashed it. They were going under a bridge, and they crashed it into one of the, I forget what you call it.
The pylons?
Whatever. Supports. They crashed it. A girl fell overboard. She died. And immediately, these teenagers started concocting a story on what happened. And it didn't mesh with what the results were here. But they were drinking on the boat, and they crashed it. And this girl, an innocent bystander, just went overboard. They were so drunk, they didn't know where she was. And she just drowned, because she was drinking as well. And she just drowned and everything. So it's dangerous out there. I mean, when you let your kids out, if I had a kid, I wouldn't let him on a boat. Of course, I didn't want my kid ever driving a car. She's 45 now, and I still don't want her driving. So anyway, the first time she got her license, and she was off on her own, she wanted to go to Butler Skateland, which is in Butler in Milwaukee. And I was panicking. I had heart palpitations, and I said to my wife, let's get in the car and follow her. Just stay behind so she can't see us. It was at night, and we followed her there, and we stayed in the entire parking lot the whole time she was in Butler Skateland. And she called us on a cell phone. We had a big bag phone, and we were right in back of her. I said, okay, just be careful. And we followed her home. I said, we can't do this every time. We've got to just trust. But she's a good driver. And so at 45, I have other people follow her now just to make sure she's okay. That's going to be scary to let your kid on a boat for the first time by themselves.
I'm sure it's very scary for parents.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about navigation lights, because all boats have to have those lights on them. Now, do rowboats have to have them?
Well, a rowboat has to have a light that they can display to avoid a collision, but they don't have the standard navigational lights. They're not powered, but basically like flashlight, lanterns, something like that. Same thing with kayaks. But powered boats, they've got to have the full navigational lights. Because if you think about it, it's not like driving in a street where there's street lights or another car that's got headlights to illuminate you. Boats don't have headlights, and there's no lights out there at all. So if the boat has no lights on, you're not going to know it's there until you've already ran it over.
You know, I see on the 4th of July when we go out to watch the fireworks on the lakefront and everybody's on the lake, millions of these red lights out there. They got to be real close to each other because they're just all over. Because they want to see the fireworks from the lake, and I understand it. But, if you don't have the lights on, you're sitting duck, especially if somebody's cruising along at a nice speed and all of a sudden you're there. They don't have brakes.
They don't have brakes, and they won't even see you because it's not like they have headlights shining in front of them.
Were you going to say something?
No, not at all.
Okay, yeah. You don't have brakes. You can't. It's not that yabba dabba doo where you can put your foot in the water,
right? Or even swerve to avoid it. They won't see them until the collision's already happened.
And navigation lights, like headlights on a car, and also like the brake lights. Check them every once in a while. If they're not working, get a bulb. I mean, how much does a bulb cost?
And know how to turn them on. I've had people go out during the day and they're coming back at night with no lights on, and we stop and they're like, we couldn't figure out how to turn our lights on.
Isn't there like a switch?
There's a switch.
Doesn't it say like on and off?
Not always. Not all the switches are labeled in some of the older boats. That's the issue.
All right. More coming up. We're going to wrap it up in a few minutes here. We're talking about boating safety because, yes, the boating season's coming up. Before you know it, people are going to head out there. I guess Memorial Day weekend's the big weekend. Everybody gets their boats in the water.
That's usually when it starts to pick up, and it peaks usually around 4th of July.
They have this right across from the... the name of that restaurant there, Joey's Yard Arm, right across the street. They have all the boats stored. And I pass it every day. And you know boating season's coming where they take those wraps off the boat, the plastic wraps, and they start putting them in the water. And I said, well, here it comes. And usually around Memorial Day weekend, in mid-May, they start unwrapping them and put them in the water.
Well, and we've even got some in now. The marina that we're stationed at has two boats that came in yesterday. So it's already started.
And I won't put my snow shovels away yet. My wife said, don't put them away. If you put them away and it snows, it'll be your fault. So I left them in there. All right. We have our guest from the Racine Traffic Safety Commission, Lieutenant Mike Lewell. He is the public information officer, and Deputy Jerome Hipper, who actually goes on the water in the boats. That must be a fun job on a hot, nice summer day.
It's a lot of fun on a nice, sunny day and not so much fun in thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah. But still, I mean, what a way to live. What do you do all day? You know, we mentioned lifeguards before I forget. I read this morning, lifeguards in Los Angeles, they have 8 lifeguards that make $300,000 a year. They have 12 that are up to $200,000 a year. Now, the downside is you got to know how to swim and save people. other than that, I mean, that's nice. Just sit on the beach. If nobody's drowning, you just sit there on the beach and get $300,000 a year. See, in Los Angeles, it's year-round. It's not like here where it's, you know, just a few months. But still, isn't that nice?
And that'd be a nice job to have.
Yeah. But you're going to have to swim and save people's lives, and, you know, who wants to do that? We're talking about boating safety today as part of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, our first Thursday of the month. And Lieutenant Mike Luell is here. He is the public information officer, and Deputy Jerome Hipper, the guy who jumps in the water to save you, he's here as well. What if you have to save somebody? How do you jump in the water with a police uniform on?
Oh, we just do it anyways.
Don't you just kind of sink to the bottom?
No, life jackets will keep us up. So best way to go is just to get them near the boat, and we have a lift, kind of like a crane that we installed on the boat last year to actually lift people out of the water.
Do you have to save a lot of people?
Sometimes. It depends on the year. A couple years ago, we had a lot of incidents, and last year, we had very few. So it's good to see that some of these safety programs are working.
Do you go out during the day or night?
Both. So we've got two shifts on, so we'll be out there the day, out there in the night. It all depends. And then I'm also on the dive team, so anytime an incident happens, they call us in the middle of the night, and we go on response.
Really?
Yep.
We had somebody, I won't mention her too much, but she had a problem, and she drove her car off the dock on purpose. The boat, you know, where the boats go in the water.
Yep.
And drowned herself on purpose. And she regretted it when the water was coming in. It was too late at that point. And they couldn't find her. This was at night. And they couldn't see, and a dive team went under the water, and they found the car with her in it. Horrible thing to have to go find people underwater if you're a diver. Because I see Dateline all the time with the divers going in 2020, and they have to find horrible things under the water and bring them up.
It is, but it's also nice to bring resolution to the family and, you know, bring an end to everything.
Did you ever have to do that?
Yes, I've done it several times.
Find bodies under the water?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be nightmarish stuff to me. Let's talk about bilge ventilators. What are those?
So basically the bilge is the bottom area of the boat. It's usually where the engines are, and it's covered up. So you want to ventilate it because it's a bigger area, and if the fumes from the fuel build up in there and catch a spark, it can actually explode.
Oh, my goodness. Let me put that down. Number 19, bilge ventilator. I won't go in the... Stay away from that. How do you know?
How do you know that it's going to happen? Well, and that's why you have a bilge ventilator to vent the fumes out to prevent it from happening.
Man, there's a lot of stuff. I thought you go on a boat, you turn the key, and you go out there and have a good time, come back, turn the key off. Obviously, there's a lot more to it. And you should know there's a lot more to it. The bilge ventilator.
That's it. A lot of people don't realize it.
How do you know if it's working or not working?
It's like a fan. So you'll hear it if it's a fan system. Otherwise, some of the systems are just use the fact that the boat is in motion to capture air and then push it out the back. So it's just automatically working.
Visual distress signals. What are those?
Typically called flares.
Oh, so, okay. I can do that.
The old method is flares. They actually have some new methods that are flashlights that blink SOS. So they're called electronic visual distress signals. So, but they're important to have in case your radio or your cell phone's not working, not getting the signal. You can just launch a flare, and that'll let people know you need help, and we can come out and get you.
The cell phones work on the lake?
Depending how far out you are, yes, they do.
What if you get Michigan?
And it's possible if you're far enough out, you might pick up Michigan.
Well, where are you? Well, that's not our problem. You better call the people in Racine on that one because you're past the line. The last time I ever heard of somebody sending up flares for distress was the Titanic, and they never paid attention to them. They thought they were just having a good time, and they paid no attention to them. But you pay attention to them.
Oh, yeah, we take them very seriously.
Ever since the Titanic?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I wasn't back around then, so I don't know how it's changed.
Could you imagine? We actually had a Titanic survivor on the air here several years ago. She's no longer with us, but Tom Carco, our news director, found and had a Titanic. I think it was a Titanic. I'm going to remember. I think it was a Titanic survivor. I got to ask him. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But wow, she was a little baby on the boat, on the ship. And do you imagine being on that thing, having it go down? Oh, I mean, I saw the movie. I saw like 12 movies of it. And what a horrible thing to have happen on the ship. You could not. What'd they say? Not even God can sink this ship. What a dare that was, huh? You got to be stupid to say something like that. All right, let's do a quick review. Boating safety. The boating season's upon us. It really kicks in May. Although you said people are
going in right now.
Yeah. All right. It kicks in May, I think, for the most part. And all summer long, people have boats. That's expensive to own a boat.
It is. There's a lot of maintenance and upkeep, plus just the docking fees and all that stuff. So it depends on if you have a slip or if you trailer it.
What do they charge for a slip?
It depends on the size. So it's all different prices.
You're not going to give me a price?
I don't know the prices offhand for the marinas, but I know they have some slips that are 30 and some slips that are like 60, 80 feet. So there's a wide variance of them.
What do you get gas for your boat around here?
We actually, if you're on the water, there's two gas docks, two marinas that have gas right at the water. You just pull up and fill up, and they've got tanks on shore.
They cleaned your windshields too?
No.
Okay. They don't check your bills fan?
It's not full service anymore.
They don't check your bills ventilator when you're there?
No.
And they have somebody come on and say, oh, let's check that bills ventilator.
Hopefully they're running the bilge ventilator when they're gassing up, though, because that's a concern.
Okay, and let's talk again about courses. If you've got somebody in your family, a young teenager, who wants to go on a boat, how do they get the courses?
They can go online to the Wisconsin DNR website, and there's links on there, and there's also classes that they teach in person. So those are the easiest ways to get the courses.
And you say something, it costs, what? It's free to take the course.
From my understanding, it's free if you do the in-person class. If you do the online class, there is a cost associated with that.
So where do they give the in-person classes?
They're all over. So basically, you'd have to go on the website, find their schedule to see when they have wardens available to give the classes and where they're giving them. Because they're throughout the state.
Do you teach them?
I do not.
Okay. What about, now you have to have a license, right?
Yeah, if you're born after a certain date, you have to have the boater safety.
And that's what, 36 years? We did try to do the math on it. We didn't have a calculator here. 1989, so that would be 90. That would be, 36, you said?
36.
So if you're older than 36, you don't need a license.
Correct. Yeah, if you're born before January 1st of 1989, you don't need the boater safety. It's technically not a license. It's a boater safety certificate.
Okay. And is there a limit to the size of the boats you can take out?
No, not if it's personal. If it's commercial.
Small. When I talk about small.
No. No, there's no limit at all.
And is there got to be an area where you can't go? I mean, we have shipping on Lake Michigan. You wouldn't go out that far, would you?
Well, some of the fishermen go out that far. You just have to make sure that if one of those big boats are coming, that you're getting out of their way if they need you to, because they have the right of way due to the fact they're commercial and that size.
No, they got the right of way because they're big.
Yeah.
They're like the bullies of the lake.
It's the laws of physics.
Yeah.
So did I miss anything today, or did we get everything in?
No, I think we got everything in. Biggest thing that we emphasize is just wearing the PFDs and having them accessible. We've had boats that we've stopped and we're like, let's see your PFDs. And they move the cooler and all the food out of the way and pull up the seat and then wiggle the package out, unzip it after they break the brand new tabs. Those are not accessible. If the boat's going down, you need the PFDs out and ready.
Boy, and if you have children, the minute they're on that dock, put them on.
Correct. And if they're under 13, if the boat's underway, they have to be wearing them.
I'd be wearing it as soon as I left home in the car. But I can't get the seatbelt on. I'm not taking it off. You never know. Well, thank you guys for coming in this morning. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
From the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission, this is our first Thursday. We're doing all these safety things. We got the road. Let me review. If you go to RacineCounty.com/staying safe, you'll see all the programs we've done.